Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Be sure to keep up to date with the 2024 election with the State of the Race podcast series. It's completely free to you, available under the Stu does America podcast stream. In fact, a little secret. There's a new episode out this morning. So great update on everything that's going on in the election world. Don't miss it. Get it right now. Stu does America feed wherever you get your podcasts. Also watch this show, plus a bunch of great bonus content on our YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We not only have the show every day, we also have Comedy Bit section, which I think you'll like a lot, and also a bunch of live videos. We do those whenever big breaking news happens, we just pop on. So if you don't want to miss those, follow the page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, and click that bell for notifications, because that means you will be able to get these things as we go live. I think you'll like them quite a bit. Chris Bedford is going to join us here in a couple minutes with some live updates from day three of the RNC. He's there. He's feeling the whole scene out. He's got some great updates for us. Biden and his cronies are also gearing up for a new attack on the Supreme Court. We'll tell you the details about that. But we're going to start by doing Biden's Lester Holt disaster. And you might say, well, didn't the Lester Holt thing happen on Monday? It's Wednesday. Why are you doing this now? It's a great question. And I will tell you, when I saw the Lester Holt interview get announced, my thought was, this is going to be the big story because Biden's trying to stay alive with his campaign. And then, of course, in between that, about 100 things have happened, including a possible VP announcement and then the actual VP announcement. We had the RNC starting. And of course, President Trump was almost killed on live television. So I've been kind of distracted. But I didn't want to let this thing slide by, because it's like that when you go to like a steakhouse or something and then they come out, you've had like the big meal and all the sides and the bread and you're totally stuffed. And they're like, well, we've got some dessert for you. Do you want to hear the dessert options? And they're like, we have an 18-layer chocolate cake. Now, 18-layer chocolate cake, a little excessive. You can't even fit the bites in your mouth, but it's pretty good. Also, the 16th layer, probably not that important. The 14th layer, probably not that important. And a lot of times those things get lost. You don't even pay attention to eating the 14th layer of the layer cake. In this particular instance, I don't want to let these layers go away. I don't want you to miss what has been going on behind the scenes, because you've probably seen no more than one clip of this interview that happened on Monday night. But I watched it yesterday because it was on my list of things to do. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything, and I wound up watching it yesterday. I couldn't believe how bad it was. It was on the level of the debate. It was that bad of an interview, and he's had basically no repercussions from it. I do expect we are going to see another big push to get Biden out of this race over the next couple of weeks. Could be wrong on that. They're taking this little break, I think, for the, assassination attempt on the former president. But I do think they're going to try this one more time. And they're going to use this Lester Holt thing and a speech he made at the NAACP as examples as to what the hell is going on with this candidate. So let me give you a little bit of this. This is President Biden sitting down with NBC News's Lester Holt. Again, a guy who's pretty friendly, generally speaking, with the president. I had some moments where they were yucking it up a little bit. Holt is not the most liberal journalist out there by any means, but I don't think is adversarial to the president. Let's put it that way. Let me give you a couple of clips. Now, this one is the one you may have seen on social media. I'll give it to you because it's kind of funny. Try to spell the word he says when he says, "What happened?" And then there's a word. I have it in my transcript. It just says what happened inaudible. So I don't know what he was talking about here. It's some word, something he's trying to do. Here's Lester Holt and Joe Biden.
If you were to have continue to run and be officially nominated, what happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens if you have another performance on that par, on that level?
I don't plan to have another performance on that level.
Now, I have no idea what that word was. What happened? I don't know what that was. It was a pretty bad performance, but that's all you saw. Now, I will say, of course, he didn't plan on having the bad performance, I would assume, on the debate. I doubt he's putting it on his calendar, make sure to ruin my entire campaign next week. I doubt that's what he did. I don't think he planned on that. He's just incapable of avoiding those days. So it was a good question by Lester Holt to put that to him. But that's the only thing you really saw get passed around. And in this, there's a lot more to this particular clip. In fact, there was one clip that I haven't seen really anywhere else that I think is the worst moment of this. That's going to come up in a minute, but let me give you this first. This is another really bad clip. So the president of the United States apparently hears about Donald Trump's assassination attempt and has his initial reaction. What was his initial reaction? It's a two-step reaction. He tries to go and walk you through. Let's see if you can follow it. Again, Lester Holt with the president.
The first reaction was, my God, this is, look, there's so much violence now, the way we talk about it. I mean, the whole notion that there is this, there's no place at all for violence in politics in America, none, zero. And we've reached a point where it's become too commonplace, not assassinations, but to talk about it. For example, you know, the January 6th, the attack on the Capitol. Lester, I got in this race early on in 2020, for the 2020 race. I wasn't going to run again because I lost my son. I didn't feel it. And until I watched what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia.
That's not true.
Those folks coming out of the woods with torches, carrying swastikas, singing the same Nazi bile, was accompanied by this Ku Klux Klan, and a young woman was killed. And
great storytelling.
And I was a bystander. And the president, then president, was asked, what do you think? He said, they're very fine people on both sides. Not fine people on both sides. No excuse, zero.
Did you get that? You understood that, you followed that, right? So his first reaction to hearing about the president, former president, almost being assassinated, shot, blood streaming down his face, his first reaction was, my God, this is. And then he just stopped, broken thought. Okay, so we don't know what that was. Then he reset and went to how much violence there is, but more about the way we talk about it. There's no place for violence in politics. It's become too commonplace, not assassinations. They're not too commonplace. I guess we need more of those, but to talk about it. So I guess, and then he lists a bunch of things that the victim of this assassination attempt is apparently responsible for. Things like January 6th, the attack on the Capitol, Charlottesville, Nazis, Ku Klux Klan, and then that very fine people on both sides, which of course has been debunked. We've done it on this show. Snopes has done it, blah, blah, blah. So his initial reaction was, hey, my God, this is, and then he just stops. And then he's mad about the way people talk about violence in politics and gives several examples that the victim of the assassination attempt said. That was his initial reaction to the former president being shot on stage. See that clip anywhere? Because that was, it was hard to follow, but pretty remarkable. Let's go to the next one. He's asking about the race, the presidential race. Has this shooting actually changed the trajectory of that race? Watch.
Has this shooting changed the trajectory of this race?
I don't know, and you don't know either.
I don't know, you've given thought to?
No, I've thought less about the trajectory of the case than two things. One, what his health is, that was secure, number one. And number two, what happens from here on in terms of the kind of coverage that the president and vice president and former president and new vice president get in terms of, look.
Huh?
I've never seen a circumstance where you ride through certain rural areas of the country and people have signs there, stand big Trump signs with middle signs saying F Biden, and the little kid standing there putting up his middle finger.
What the hell are you talking about? Again, has the shooting changed the trajectory of this race? His answer is, What I've thought about more is what Donald Trump's health is. Okay, that's a pretty good beginning of an answer. And number two, what kind of coverage are they going to get? Because there's kids giving me the finger. What the hell is he talking about? Again, he's blaming the victim here. This is what we complain about when people blame the victim. Their skirt is too short. They called the rape on. They shouldn't have been walking down that dark alley now, should they have been? That's a kind of a fascinating thing to do. And he does it over and over and over again. Blames Donald Trump for his own assassination attempt. Now, this one did maybe make the rounds a little bit. Maybe you saw this. You'd think one of the most important things this president can be doing is not even doing. Honestly, it would have been justifiable for him to cancel the interview with Lester Holt. Of course, he can't do that because his entire candidacy is riding on every single media appearance. I mean, it is an amazing place to be to say, I don't know. Can the president of the United States get through this one interview? It'll be really dramatic to see what happens. That shouldn't be the place that we're in with the president of the United States. But he was asked about the Secret Service director. Watch.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Well, I've heard from him.
But have you heard from her publicly?
Publicly. I've sat down in a situation room downstairs. The Secret Service, the FBI, the National Security Agencies, the Homeland Security, all the major elements.
Wait a minute. So the main thing you take out of this is he says, I've heard from him. So he doesn't even know who the Secret Service director is because she, Kim Cheadle, is a female. Something maybe he should be aware of. Now, I don't understand. I will say the first time I heard this, I was like, why would he ask, have you heard from them publicly, heard from her publicly? I mean, quite clearly, he seems to want to give her the answer, give him the answer to this question, saying, hey, you just said it was a him. You know, it's a her, right? Lester Holt seems to be volunteering that information to try to assist Biden. I don't know how you hear from someone publicly. If it's public, we all heard from them. So I don't know why he would want to hear from them publicly. Obviously, hearing behind the scenes would be the more important thing. But obviously, I don't think that occurred because he didn't even know the gender of the person. Of course, what is a woman anyway? Who knows? There's also this back and forth, and this is really an interesting part of this. Biden has reached this point where he's become angry. All reporting indicates he started this with the idea of saying, like, let's go to these people. We'll calm their worries. We'll give them their little conversations and we'll say, hey, look, I understand your concerns and they're valid, but I'm OK. He's come to the point now where he's pissed off. He has to keep doing this. And he is now starting to get angry. He got in a fight with a bunch of Democrats. And it looked like the reports were that 50 Democrats were about to come out and say, he's got to step down. We're sick of this. At one point, he was handed a note from his own staff that said, hey, you sound too defensive, relax. And he said, he read the note on the call. You sound too defensive, relax. Well, that was just a moment of levity. He's really falling down. But there were supposed to be 50 Democrats who were supposed to come out and say, hey, you need to step down. That was 1 hour before the Trump shooting. So again, he was able to run the clock a little bit more and try to get out of this. Here he is, though, fighting with NBC News because at this point he's just pissed. He's sick of answering all these questions and he's complaining of all places, NBC News and how they're being unfair to him.
Lester, look. Why don't you guys ever talk about the 18 to 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that? 28 times
was confirmed. I never talked about Trump's lies. That's right.
I had a bad, bad night. I wasn't feeling well at all. And I had been without it making it. I screwed up.
But I just asked a question because the idea that you may or may not have seen what some of these other folks have seen, you're not on the same.
I'd have to see. I was there. I'd have to see it. I was there. And by the way, seriously, you won't answer the question, but why didn't the press talk about all the lies he told? Well, I haven't read anything about that.
We have reported many of the issues that came up during
haven't.
That debate.
No, you haven't.
But we'll provide you with them.
God love you.
Joe Biden is delusional, okay? And we all know that. We've known it for a really, really long time. But thinking that NBC News isn't tough enough on Donald Trump might be the most delusional thing he's ever said. That's freaking crazy. NBC News spends all of their time going after Donald Trump. They can't possibly talk about Donald Trump lying more than they do. That's all they talk about all the time. They have an entire network dedicated to pointing this out. MSNBC. Now, of course, MSNBC is doing what they do. And Joe Biden's favorite show is Jolton Joe Scarborough, who they didn't even put on the air the other day. This is similar to the many other times his shows have failed. This time they actually did put him back on the air, unlike the other times they said he was coming back on and he did not come back on. But Joe Scarborough's, he's now taking a swipe at his colleague, Lester Holt, over Biden questioning. I was shocked. He was shocked that he was engaging in phony moral relativism. Guys, give me a freaking break. This was not even a tough interview. They had a couple of brief back and forths in which they were both laughing. But MSNBC host meltdown over Biden being asked about his rhetoric, shouts real threat is right-wing extremism. This is Nicole Wallace. I will remind you that both Nicole Wallace and Joe Scarborough, which were pitched to us as conservatives, they were supposed to be the conservative voices over on MSNBC. Remember that? God, it is what a crazy freaking world we live in. Now, again, I still have not played for you the craziest clip of this interview. You still haven't seen the craziest part of this interview. Here is Lester Holt. I'll just give you another mental breakdown here, talking to Joe Biden about Barack Obama. Watch.
President Obama put out a statement after the debate, but should he and Michelle Obama be doing more to express their confidence in you?
No, they're helping me. They've helped me from the beginning. This is my job to get this done.
Have you talked to him recently about this?
I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks.
Have you talked to him since this issue came to light, since the debate?
I may have. I don't think so.
Now, look, yeah, I guess he's a busy guy. But do you ever, if someone asks you if you talk to someone, you might not know the exact timeline, but I think when it's something as major as that debate, you'd probably know. The other thing to note about this, it has been widely, widely reported that they have spoken. Now, it's possible all of that reporting was wrong, but the fact that he couldn't remember the conversation he had with the former president of the United States in his most arduous moment as a campaigner kind of seems like he's just not remembering things. This is the second time he's done this. He couldn't remember whether he watched the debate or not as well. But again, that's not the craziest clip in this. Let me give you this one. This is about whether he will debate Donald Trump again coming in the next few weeks. Watch.
Mr. Trump has said he's giving you a chance to redeem yourself. Basically, the idea of engaging in another debate.
We're going to have another debate.
Yeah, you're going to have one in September that's on the books. Would you be open to doing one in the next few weeks?
I'm going to debate him when we agreed to debate, and I'm going to debate him in September.
But if the opportunity came up to do one between now and then, is there a sense of wanting to get back on the horse?
I'm on the horse. Where have you been? I've done 22 major events, met thousands of people, overwhelming crowds, a lot happening. I'm on the horse. What I'm doing is going out and demonstrating to the American people that I'm in command of all my faculties, that I don't need notes, I don't need teleprompter. I can go out and answer any questions at all. And I stood there when NATO was in town, I stood there for an hour and answered questions.
True, it wasn't a great performance, but it was better than this one. And also, he's done 22 events. Almost all of them have been on teleprompter. So you got that going on, which is nice. Can you believe that he's out there? These are his words. He's out there demonstrating to the American people that I have command of all my faculties. Holy crap, are we in trouble? But that is not the craziest clip. This is the craziest clip. And you probably didn't see it because it wasn't a big question. It was about Judge Cannon getting rid of the charges at Mar-a-Lago. They threw it in because it had just happened. But listen to how badly he loses his train of thought in the middle of this. Not to mention, it follows a major lie about the classified documents case that he was involved in. Here's the back and forth, and this is really uncomfortable.
Judge Cannon dismissed the documents case, as you may have heard, in Mar-a-Lago. Can I first get your reaction to that?
I'm not surprised. It comes from the immunity decision the Supreme Court ruled on, and Clarence Thomas, in his dissent, said that independent prosecutors appointed by the Attorney General aren't legit. That's the basis on which this judge moved to dismiss. But I had an independent prosecutor look at me. They spent months on my going through, and I was totally cooperative, in and out of my house. And there were, I don't know, the last time in, there were like 10, 12 agents in my house for 9 hours on a company.
So far, just a D-minus answer, not an F.
That's appropriate. And they looked at me and concluded I didn't do a damn thing wrong. But my generic point is that it's...
Is what? What is it?
Huh? Well, the basis upon which the case was thrown out, I find specious because I don't agree with what Clarence Thomas' dissent and or the Supreme Court decision on immunity.
Okay. First of all, Clarence Thomas was in the majority of that decision. He didn't write a dissent. He wrote a concurrence. He repeats dissent multiple times, but there was a concurrence written by Clarence Thomas that I think he's referring to. His description of his own classified documents case is a total lie. They did not say he didn't do a damn thing wrong. They said he was an elderly man with a poor memory. That's where that phrase comes from. You can buy the shirt or the mug at StuDoesMerch.com, code Stu10 if you'd like to save 10%, and get that particular phrase in a mug. But the moment where he totally loses where he's going there. He says, my generic point is, he's describing a point. And he stops for what seems like an hour, which was probably more like 7 or 8 seconds, and then goes on to another point about the Clarence Thomas dissent. You haven't seen that anywhere, but that was, I thought, as bad as you've seen this guy at all. The entire situation, it's filled with lies. It's filled with crutches where he has these things like where he says, like, anyway, there's a bunch of those in there. And there are a bunch of just broken thoughts. You know, a bridge to a location that doesn't actually get reached. Across that chasm is another thought. He starts building the bridge, and then he falls off the edge and starts over. It is really sad, man. This entire thing was really bad. It is a bad interview. And he survives it only because people aren't paying attention. The NAACP speech he did yesterday on a prompter might have been worse. I do expect another major push to get him out of office over the next couple of weeks. And it might succeed. I kind of hope it doesn't, frankly, because I don't want changing the dynamics of this race right now. There's no reason to do that if you happen to be Donald Trump or Republicans or somebody who wants a conservative thing to happen over the next 4 years. I will say that right now, he seems determined to stay in this race. And that makes me nervous for the future of the country over the next 6 months, but it makes me very optimistic for the future of the country over the next 4 years. So the University of Utah has it's like a drug information service, and they look through all the drugs and they say, hey, what do we have in stock? What are people able to find if they need it? And they found that 323 drugs are in shortage right now. 48 new drug shortages recorded just this year in the first quarter. No doubt about it, we're kind of facing a pretty serious situation here, and there is something that you can do about it. You can take your loved ones, you can kind of shield them from this with the Jace case from Jace Medical. It is a way to stock up on the medication you need to be prepared. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just fill out a simple form online and you'll have it in case you need it. There are add-on options too, like EpiPens and ivermectin. Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands. Go to jace.com and enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The code is STU at jace.com, jace.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical, JASE.com. Code is STU.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I want to bring in Chris Bedford. He is the senior politics editor and DC correspondent for Blaze News. He has a new piece out today. That whole toning it down thing is already over, which is amazing. Be sure to check it out at blaze.com. He's live at the RNC right now in a very, very, very loud environment. I appreciate you braving the increased sound waves to join us here, Chris. What's the scene there at the RNC?
RNC, the official business of the day hasn't kicked off yet. So right now, it's kind of like being at a really big town fair. There's people all dressed up in red, white, and blue in different costumes. There's different events, different concerts going on, gatherings of people walking around, almost like outside of a baseball game with hot dogs and popcorn. Except everyone, no one's here for sports. Everyone's here because they're huge political nerds. And this is kind of their Super Bowl and their big day. And folks are really excited. Tonight has got a big lineup for the Republicans, and it's the second to last night of the convention. So we're going to have Senator J.D. Vance, the new vice presidential nominee, closing out the night this evening, and people are getting ready for that.
What is the reaction to J.D. Vance as the pick there on the ground in D.C.? Are people happy with it?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a little bit of a blend. Some Republicans, especially some of the more liberal Republicans, are a little worried that he is very MAGA. He's a very conservative person. He's and one of the very few Republican senators, maybe just him and Josh Hawley, who doesn't just talk about populist conservatism and actually legislates like that, pushes for that sort of thing. But amongst the conservatives and the Trump supporters and the real MAGA types, it is universal elation. If you walk into bars or restaurants or steakhouses around here in the evening, you'll hear toasts to J.D. Vance, and there's just a great excitement. It seemed like, you know, 2016, Donald Trump ran a campaign that was very much based on ideas. And in 2020, a lot of the campaigning was very personal, just Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. But putting J.D. Vance in the ticket kind of elevates it once again to a serious conflict of ideas.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the reaction and I think the coverage of the convention. I think it's been pretty well received from the standpoint of how it's gone, the speakers, their speeches. I think it, at least my outside impression seems to be, it's sort of a function of a much more united Republican Party. You go back to 2016, you have big, big divisions still with Donald Trump, a lot of people not trusting him. 2020 is obviously weird with the COVID thing. This feels like the first time in the Trump era that everyone there seems to be largely on the same page.
Yes, and if they weren't already completely united, then that absolutely changed on Saturday. And on Friday, just the day before the assassination attempt, you saw different people, like Nikki Haley wasn't scheduled to speak. A few days before that, the Governor Ron DeSantis wasn't scheduled to speak. And that kind of spoke to some potential rivalries that still exist within the party. Ron DeSantis was the first one to get booked after Blaze reported on it and some other people. And then after Saturday, you saw Nikki Haley was getting a spot. You saw 50 Cent was trying to get in on the action. Or 50 Cent, I'm sorry, my accent is awful. There's a huge amount of unity, and yesterday was kind of a parade of the previous people who'd run against Donald Trump in primaries. You saw Ben Carson up there, you saw Haley up there, DeSantis, Rubio, and the president was actually in the stands, which is unusual for that early in the convention. A lot of times, presidents will just come in if they're already secured the nomination for the last day, and that'll be the big unveil. Donald Trump has done this differently. He's been sitting there with J.D. Vance the whole time, listening to the speeches, applauding, and really part of this convention. And that is, like you said, more unified than any Republican convention I've seen in a long time.
Chris, you're obviously standing right out there in front of the arena, and you're, I assume, well within the secured area of the convention. We did hear some potential violence outside of the area. There was reports of a guy in a mask with a gun. Another person was shot. I mean, is there any, what is the tension level there after the events of this past weekend and then what we've seen over the past couple days?
So there's not a, you don't notice the tension amongst the attendees at all, really. It's kind of amazing to see how different the feeling is here from what it could have been had that bullet just moved a few short millimeters to the right and actually hit the president. But the security apparatus is intense. Good luck getting an Uber. Good luck finding a cab. Good luck driving anywhere. There is police from all around the country. The Coast Guard is here. State troopers are here. Secret Service is everywhere. FBI is here. And it can be rather difficult. If you've ever had a difficult time in airport security, magnify that by 5 or 6 and make it very hot outside. And that's some of the frustration that you have to deal with. But once you're inside this perimeter, everything is good. Everything's Gucci.
All right. Well, yeah, let me go to your piece here, which was great. The whole toning it down thing is already over. And Chris, that was fast, wasn't it? I thought it would at least be a week after an assassination attempt. We are right back to normal mode where you're calling the president Hitler all over again.
It was wild. I know that the news cycles have moved extremely quickly since 2016 in general. The 24-hour news cycle feeds that. But basically, the only period of mourning that we had was Morning Joe was kicked off the air for a single day. There was no toning it down. By that evening, you had Democratic senators attacking J.D. Vance as someone who wants to create a Christian authoritarian dictatorship patriarchy. It's just a word salad. But the next morning, I was walking through the lobby of one of the media hotel here, and I saw some MSNBC columnist saying that J.D. Vance is going to encapsulate white minority rule of this country, like some kind of apartheid system, which is, of course, even if you were to point out to this commentator, hey, you know, his wife isn't white, they have a couple children together, that doesn't make a difference because it's coming right from them. That's the kind of things that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are going to face. So they were good for about 24 hours. And then you see even Joe Biden speaking at the NAACP. It's right back to the demonizing.
Yeah, it was amazing. I saw some representative, I think from New Hampshire, tweet that in J.D. Vance's world, his own wife will be deported. And I did need to point out to her that, you know, his wife was born in California. So I don't think she's going to be deported. I don't think there's any policy to deport. I mean, I think there's a temptation among some Republicans to deport people from California, but I don't think it's actually one of their policies.
No, that's the dream. That might be the Republican platform in 4 to 8 years, but not yet.
Not quite yet. You go through some of these examples. They're amazing. Nicole Wallace telling one of her studio guests, saying Vance wanted women in abusive marriages. Chris Murphy was you were talking about, where he said would be better off if we had just had one of these people in charge and the rest of us were stripped of our rights. We put men back in charge as if we created this nation in a cloak of Christian nationalism. Of course, Joe Biden saying the other side wants to deny your freedom to vote. He went back and forth with Lester Holt over that as well, where he talked about, you know, hey, look, I want to still talk about all these things. I keep saying I have to lower my own tone, but I still want to keep saying all of the same things and try to justify that position as if it was defensible. These people are saying the exact same thing. They're back in the same old mode, and we're barely, you know, 96 hours after the shooting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it would have been hard for the Democrats because their entire campaign strategy was essentially that Donald Trump was Mecha Hitler, Godzilla Mecha Hitler returned from the under the sea to destroy the country and wreck democracy. And there had been complaints for months amongst top Democratic donors that Donald Trump was gaining in the polls, that this strategy of saying this is all about just defending democracy in January 6th was not actually working with the voters. I think that's really been confirmed. But they don't really have an alternative. In 2020, they were able to run Joe Biden as a grandfatherly figure who was healing the country, who would help bring people back together and heal us after COVID. Well, we've done 4 years of that. We know that that wasn't true. So not able to do that, and the candidate himself is so weak that reportedly even Chuck Schumer, the head of the Senate Democrats, has headed to his home to personally plead that he drop out of this race. So they have to run against Donald Trump. And trying to get them to maintain a moment of silence was like trying to get them to hold their breath. They absolutely could not maintain it.
Amazing. Last one for you here, Chris. You know, Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981, and he got a bump in his approval rating. I think it was by 8 points. It faded away completely after 3 months. That's in the 80s. That's a totally different media environment. You just talked about how fast the bubbles seem to go away for people being kind to the president. I mean, I feel like right now, everybody I talk to on the right is super ecstatic. They think everything's going to be fine. There's no chance of this turning around. We're fine. But, you know, 4 months is a long time in politics. Is there still a worry that, you know, Joe Biden might still somehow pull this off, or if not Kamala Harris?
There should be. Republicans should never settle into any kind of feeling of triumphalism. Neither party ever should. When you've got 4 months, just like you said, the attack started right away. Because Donald Trump wasn't paralyzed, he's got a wound to the head. Well, the pictures are there. He's not going to be showing the signs of this wound in the coming weeks and months. The American attention span is pretty darn short these days. It's not just the children. It's even the adults who have that short attention span. So if Republicans decide to rest on their laurels, then they could be in for a pretty surprising November. I know that Democrats right now are completely despondent. They don't see really a chance for their man to win in November, but Republicans shouldn't share in that. If this is still a real race, and the American people still have strong opinions on Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Chris Bedford, senior politics editor and D.C. correspondent for Blaze News. Check out the new piece. It's "The Whole Toning It Down Thing Is Already Over." It's at theblaze.com. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the program, man. Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Well, when you need to buy or sell a home, you need somebody on your side. A lot of people will go on and like they'll click on the website, a listing of a home, and they'll see the name underneath it of the real estate agent that's listed it for the sellers. And then they'll just go with that agent. And like, you know, maybe that works out sometimes, but I want someone on my side, a buying agent. Also, if you're selling a home, you got to make sure you have the best agent available. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to find that person. If you want to be paired with the best real estate agent in your area, someone who knows the best practices, someone who understands the crazy housing market that we have right now, someone who's a team leader and a closer, someone you can trust, go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. This is a free service to you, so try it out. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Well, Joe Biden, very, very desperate to change the news cycle. He now wants to announce support for a major Supreme Court changes, or actually series of changes. Among them, term limits, ethics codes that would be enforceable. These would have to go through Congress. And he also wants a constitutional amendment to basically reverse the immunity decision he didn't like from a couple of weeks ago. I would argue none of that's going to happen. He'd have to get 60 votes in the Senate. It's basically just a BS pledge to liberals to try to move them along. We'll see how that holds up. The Secret Service ramped up security after intel on Iran plot to assassinate Trump. No known connection to shooting. And so this is a totally separate plot to shoot Donald Trump by Iranians. And so what you saw at the rally was the ramped up version of security. The one where they leave the roofs just open for people to climb on with rifles. They ramped it up for you. So that's pretty impressive. Biden is going back to his old talking points as well. He's got new ones and old ones. He's citing the attack on Trump and renewing calls for an assault weapons ban. Now, it's hard to express how stupid this is in so many different ways. Again, the kid who's 20 years old didn't even get, this wasn't even his gun. Like, you know, he didn't even go to buy it. So what would you do here? You're going to ban assault weapons, but you're going to go take them out of every home? I would like to see you try that. Actually, I don't want to see you try that. That seems like it would turn out very badly. The Supreme Court's already ruled on the common use clause when it comes to the Second Amendment. Quite clearly, this is one of the most common sporting rifles in America, the AR-15, the assault rifle, as they call it. At the end of the day, you're not going to be able to do anything on this anyway. Finally, we have 1 in 3 Biden supporters saying that they think the Trump shooting might have been staged. might have been staged. Even though we all saw it unfold live on television, it was maybe staged. And this is consistent with what Democrats do and Republicans do at some level. Like, there's always about between a third and a half of any voting group that will support pretty much any conspiracy about anything when it comes to their opponent. You saw that with the birther stuff. You saw that on the right. You saw it with 9/11 on the left. About half of voters believe 9/11 was an inside job back in the day when they didn't like George W. Bush. You kind of believe every conspiracy against your opponent. That is typically what goes on here. So 33% of people believe this, which is, you know, crazy. Now, I will say it's actually kind of big chunks of both sides on this one, because there's a lot of people on the right who are kind of believing conspiracies. And, you know, on both sides of this, I have a little bit of understanding, frankly, because it's such an unbelievable story. And it seems so crazy that there could be such a failure when it comes to security. We're getting more and more details that they may have known, that now we're getting details that even the parents of the shooter actually called the police the day of the shooting to warn them. They didn't know what was going on with him. Every single day adds more details that makes the official story a little bit less believable. We will see where this ends up, but it is important to wait for the facts. Let's see what we get. Let's see what we understand. We don't need to guess on this. We should know eventually, or at least we'll know as much as we're ever going to know in a couple of weeks. So we'll keep following this and give you the information that we think is actually true when we get it. Do you own a business? I mean, look, every day must be really frustrating if you do. You get the increased regulation. You got the impact of inflation. You got the impact of interest rates on your bottom line. There is a really cool solution out there that has been built specifically to help you save money and, most importantly, align you with a group of people who are like-minded business owners that share your values. It's called the Freedom Chamber. It's open for business, and it's called the Freedom Chamber because these are people who have the same kind of mindset that you do. You can receive exclusive benefits to help your business grow while being rooted in the values that we all kind of agree on: faith, family, freedom. At least we used to all agree on those values. Now, maybe not everyone does, but you can find people who do with this group. Now, you can join other American businesses across commercial sectors. The Freedom Chamber's mission is promoting our values while fostering the growth, sustainability, and success of member companies. The Freedom Chamber is a dynamic and innovative organization with comprehensive support, robust resources, and exclusive networking opportunities. So join today, freedomchamber.net. Get involved with this group. You're going to really love what they're doing. Freedomchamber.net, freedomchamber.net. Now, I was just saying there's going to be another big movement here against Joe Biden to get him out of the race in the next couple of weeks. Well, as we're discussing and taping here today, Representative Adam Schiff has called on Biden to drop out of the presidential race. Probably the biggest name so far to do that. He's going to probably be the next senator from California. He's one of the worst people in Washington, but also a very big name. So there you go. That does seem to be going forward, as we were talking about. We also have some movement in the tech world. The tech billionaires are warming to Trump. I listened to a good chunk of this podcast yesterday. Andreessen Horowitz, big name in the tech world. You know, they're big in crypto as well, investors in Coinbase, many other situations around crypto and AI and all of this. Well, they are now warming to Trump is the headline. They have decided for little tech, what they call little tech, we think Donald Trump is the right choice. Which is, again, this is not normal for tech. They're going that way. And now Elon Musk is, you know, after the shooting, he came out and said, look, I fully endorse Donald Trump. I'm sick of screwing around here. Fully endorse him. He now is, after Gavin Newsom has passed a new law, which basically said, you know, if your kids want to be change genders, you can't tell the parents. Well, Elon Musk says SpaceX and X, which is, of course, Twitter, are moving their headquarters to Texas from California. Of course, we welcome you here, of course, Elon, to Texas. Welcome. You're going to Austin. It's kind of Texas. But it's great. I mean, it's great to see. And this sort of stuff, while there'll be the tough guy Democrat response, oh, if you want to leave, then get out. This does really hurt the California economy. These are two massive businesses located in California, and they've already been dealing with so many others that have fled already. So SpaceX and Twitter/X both coming to Texas, and we welcome you. Things are going to get very interesting over the next couple of weeks. I encourage you to stay up to date for the next few months with the election and our State of the Race podcast. It's a free podcast series available wherever you get your podcasts. You get the Studios America show there as well. But State of the Race is a bonus podcast available audio only wherever you get your podcasts. We had a new episode out today. They're like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, usually come out in the mornings, give you that update, what you need to know, kind of behind the scenes with all the political stuff. So don't miss that. State of the Race. Whew, changes almost every day. We'll see you tomorrow.